we're very near the birth of the Savior. So it might come as a surprise that in today's Gospel there's no mention of him. Today's Gospel focuses on the birth and the naming of John the Baptist. The reason why there's no mention of Jesus here is because the story of John the Baptist points to Jesus. In fact, the whole infancy narrative of Luke is a grand compare and contrast between Jesus and John the Baptist. Compare and contrast, and maybe you're used to this from your school days, as teachers are always telling their students, compare and contrast these two ideas or these two figures, or it's a good way to learn about both. So, because if you have something all by itself, it's hard to distinguish what's so unique, what's so different about it, what's so special about it. But when you hold up one thing next to another, you somehow are able to understand both of them better. Compare and contrast. Well, this first two chapters of Luke's Gospel are a classic case of this, even in literary sense. So there is the Annunciation. The same angel goes to the parents of these two great figures. The angel, Archangel Gabriel, goes to Zechariah and goes to Mary. So there's a similarity that there's an angelic announcement of a miraculous birth, but there's a big difference. The father, the mother. The announcement is that some great person is going to be born, but the first one gets met with doubt in the case of Zechariah. The second, Jesus, gets met, announcement of his coming gets met with great faith, faith of Mary. And you could go on and on. There's lots of ways of comparing the two. The canticle of Jesus' parent comes while he's still in the womb. The canticle of John's parent comes after John is already born. The names, John means the Lord is gracious. They both receive their names before they're even conceived. And the names are both great names. They're both indicating the greatness of the Lord. The Lord is gracious. But the name Jesus means the Lord saves. And that's even better than being gracious. So to be saved is better simply than to receive grace. The arrival of John points toward the future. What will this child be? But the arrival of Jesus, which we'll celebrate tomorrow night, is not just point to the future. The Lord is here, Emmanuel, God is with us. The birth of John generates a little bit of stir on earth, the neighbors and the relatives. The story of John especially focuses not on his birth, but on his naming. In the case of Jesus, his birth is met with an outburst of song coming from heaven. And the story of his naming is mentioned in just one verse. As if that's not the key thing. Because John comes to point the way to Jesus. When Jesus comes, he's here. Now we're not awaiting the fulfillment of the promise anymore. The promise is fulfilled. So this is why today's Gospel, even though there's no mention of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah, it's all about Jesus. It's all about, by compare and contrast. John is the messenger sent ahead of the Lord to prepare the way. It's a great thing that the messenger has arrived, because that means the way is being prepared. It means that we are at the threshold of the coming of the Messiah. It's an occasion of great joy. It's an occasion to stir people to ponder, what is God doing and what will this child be? What's the meaning of these events? That's what we're doing. Whenever we get to this story of John receiving his name, of course, he had his name already. It was chosen by God in heaven. It was revealed to his father. you will name the child John. That's why when they ask, well, what's his name? And Elizabeth says, no, he will be called John. Zechariah doesn't say he will be called John. He says, John is his name. It's already decided. You can't change what God has already decided. This idea of naming and of a name being designated in the mind of God from all eternity can also give us an occasion to reflect on our own way of naming our children and grandchildren, because that has kind of collapsed in modern society, as you know. It used to be that names had meanings. They had usually religious meaning, not just in the Philippines. Every culture, that's what names were. They were usually something about the significance of the child in the plan of God. But that has pretty much fallen apart. And now names don't seem to have any meaning. And now we have the phenomenon of people changing their own names as if it's not up to God or up to one's parents. We just make up a name for ourselves and tell everybody, this is my new name. It's part of the phenomenon of decline in society where nothing has any meaning. There is no meaning because everything is just random, chance happenings, including human persons. This is the postmodern idea. Nothing really has any meaning. It's all relative. The only meaning anything has is what we decide to give to it. So, no person has a meaning. Even we ourselves don't have a meaning. So we just decide to give ourselves a name. And if we don't like it, we can change it. It's a very sad phenomenon. Because when that happens, not only does it indicate how rootless we are, how lost we are, but it also shows that we have no awareness of the great plan of God. As if we have to simply make up for ourselves some great plan, make ourselves something. Well, what about what God has done? So I think it's important to keep going back to these stories of this in the scriptures and going back to what God has already revealed. We don't have to make up an identity for ourselves. We belong to God. We're children of God. There isn't any greater identity. We don't receive our name at circumcision. We receive our name at baptism. And that name becomes the indicator of our identity in Jesus Christ. We are a new creation. We can't come up with anything greater than that. So, even though, of course, we have to respect people's decisions and we have to recognize the trends in society, we should also compare and contrast. Now, compare and contrast. Compare the God's plan for us with our own plan for ourselves. Compare God's name for us with names we come up for ourselves. Compare God's the identity God has assigned to us with whatever we might come up with ourselves. I hope it's clear that when we make that comparison, we see that God's plan is better, that God's name is better, that the identity, our true identity, our true self in God is better. That's what we accept. That also helps us discover our vocation, our mission in life. If we think we have to make it up ourselves, well then it's never going to be very important because we could just as well change it to something else. But if we know what God has in mind for us, even if the world thinks that it's insignificant or worthless, who cares what the world thinks about it? Let's do what God has decided. Let's follow the way of God, what He has set before us. And that's where we will find our fulfillment. Our joy, our true identity is in God. He has our names written on the palm of His hand, and He has a great plan for us. This plan is going to be celebrated tomorrow night when we see the birth of the Savior. He's born for us, not for Himself. He comes as Savior for us who need a Savior. So let us open our hearts to this, the unfolding of this great plan of God, a plan that he's had from all eternity and is continually being revealed to us in time.